medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success. Before we kick off this week's episode, we wanted to take a moment to pay tribute to a man that contributed so much to our community and influenced so many out there.
We are here today recording a podcast that is focused on education, meant to inspire and help people learn about J.D. Edwards. And this is what that man did for a significant portion of his career.
There are so many out there that have responded with stories about how he made a difference in their career and made a difference in their lives. And that person is Andy Klee, founder of JDE Tips.
Thank you for being an inspiration to all of us, and for your dedication to the JD Edwards community, and for the time, energy, and passion you brought.
May you rest in peace, Andy.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. Once again, my name is Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. And with me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of J.D. Edwards Product Development at Oracle. How you doing today, Paul? What's new at J.D. Land?
Ah, J.D. Land. Well, we're getting close to the code cutoff for our Q2 release. So J.D. Land is a little bit stressed right now as everybody tries to wrap up their features and finish their testing, you know, before we go into dev integration testing and whatnot. So everybody's heads down, working hard, trying to wrap up the release. We're pretty excited for what we're going to be bringing in Q2 and hopefully being able to showcase some of that in the upcoming blueprint. But how are things with you, Chandra? How was maybe your run this weekend?
My run this weekend was great. Did 9 miles on Saturday, had nice temperatures, beautiful weather. It was wonderful.
So you weren't running in the monsoon like I was here in Denver.
You had a monsoon in Denver? Is it monsoon season?
In the dry, arid desert of Denver, when it rains like it did this weekend, it sure as heck felt like a monsoon. But and I can tell you, I've ran in like negative 10 degree weather. And it was snow, and I would rather do that and have my eyelids freeze than run in 20 degree weather or whatever it was, 30 degree weather and downpour. I just absolutely not. Getting soaking wet like that is just too much.
I would agree. I would much rather run in snow than cold rain. Give me snow any day.
So what are we talking about this week?
So today we're here to talk JDE lingo. Well, why? Because when we were at InFocus talking to the BA special interest group, one of the things that was brought up was that when you're new and you're attending these conferences, you kind of feel like you're drinking through the fire hose because you don't know the terminology. Well, we decided to take this episode and help get those unfamiliar with the lingo familiar.
Yes. And in order to do that, we wanted to gamify this a little bit, right? I mean, we could sit here and go through terms all day long, although I don't think you're signing in and listening to our podcast to hear us like read the dictionary. Okay. So we want to gamify it a bit. We thought maybe trivia, maybe some Jeopardy. Instead, what we settled on was lingo bingo. So what we're asking everybody out there to do is pause the show, get out a 5x5 card, make your bingo columns. All right. And fill in your cells with your favorite JDE lingo term that you think we're going to cover today. Obviously, put JD Edwards in the middle because that's where JD Edwards belongs. And with any luck, you're going to get bingo with you know, and to be fair, we hope you get a blackout. I mean, if we fail to get you a blackout today, then please go into the comments and share whatever terms we missed. Okay. And again, you guys can have fun with this. So you can put in the craziest terms that you can think of that we'll possibly miss. And then you can let us know and we'll be sure to try to cover them on a future show. All right. So lingo bingo, here we go. Chandra, you're up first. What's the first term?
I know this is going to come as a shock, but the first term is JDE or JD Edwards.
Oh, geez. You go with the softball right away. Okay, everybody mark the middle of your board. Congratulations.
I put that one right over the plate, just right where you wanted it.
Exactly. All right. So from there, we start at the top, right? You sign into E1. The first thing you see, of course, are your menus and your tasks and your homepage. So what do we see across the top there that everybody should be familiar with?
Well, the very first thing is the little house, the home. But right next to that, the navigator, or how I refer to it as a compass, the compass that's up there. And with next to that, typically open applications, recent reports, maybe you have your favorites. And depending on what version you're running and what you have configured, you may have your watch lists, which look like a little flag, or your notifications, which look like a little bell.
Awesome. Yes, the watch list and the notifications. Hopefully everybody listening is on a version that has that. If not, it's time to upgrade. All right, moving on. So what do we use that compass that you referred to for?
Well, Paul, I use that compass for a couple things. The first one that I kind of use it for is for navigating our menu tree, so I know where a user is going to launch, whether it be a specific application or a report we might have built for them. But I also use it for FastPath access. So FastPath allows users direct access to specific tasks, interactive versions, batch versions, data browser, or menus. But to know if you have FastPath access, my recommendation is any application that you know you have access to. So say you're maybe in the accounting side and you have access to work with batches, you might enter P0011 and see if that screen actually opens. If it doesn't, maybe you want to contact your sysadmin to see if you can't get access. As a BA, I find FastPath to be a very powerful tool and something that is indispensable to my job, something I use routinely. And did you know that you actually have the ability to create your own FastPath codes using UDC00FP? And we'll talk about UDCs shortly.
Awesome. I will admit, even though I'm a JD Edwards veteran, that is a new capability to me. I did not know that you could define your own. So very cool. So for those of you out there that want to know what FastPass you already have set up, check out 00FP UDC and see what's there. All right. You also mentioned using FastPath to launch menus. So it's probably important for us to go through the anatomy of our menu naming convention real quick, just so folks understand it. We start them off with G, and you might see a series of numbers like 3111 or 3112. So the first two numbers are the system code. So in this case, 31 will refer to shop floor management. The next number, the one, would be the menu level. And we have several different menu levels from daily to periodical to advanced and technical, as well as setup operations. So again, depending on what you're trying to navigate to, you know, what task will fall under what menu level, keep that in mind. And then finally, you've got the sequence or task view, which is the last digit. Hopefully, once you start to recognize, you know, these menus and their structure, it becomes easier to navigate the system. Now, you mentioned favorites. So do you use favorites quite a bit, Chandra, or not?
I use them a little bit, not a ton. As one of the elements of my job, I'm supporting users quite frequently. So I want to make sure that I can tell a user how to navigate through our menu system to get where they might need to be, rather than always having an application or a batch version favorited. So for me, I only use it in very limited quantities, if you will, more for stuff that I might need on a very routine basis, you know, role relationship listing, security workbench, those type of things that are directly applicable to my job. But when I'm supporting users, I want to make sure that I can direct them and I can find where they're going as well.
Makes sense. You mentioned watch lists, which is, of course, the little flag. Now, we introduced watch lists a while back, and we incorporated them directly into another one of these terms, UX1, where we had these landing pages with your watch list and our attempt at Alert Analyze Act, AAA. So if anybody wrote that one down, check that one off. There you go. But, you know, the watch list was, of course, the alert side of that. And that's our attempt at helping people work by exception, right? You want to set your thresholds. You want to know how many orders are on hold. You want to know how many invoices were in error or whatnot. This is where watch list really does come in handy so that you can go take care of those exceptions and keep things moving smoothly. Now, alongside of that, we came up with notifications, right? Do you want to be alerted to certain situations? The cool thing about notifications is you can put orchestrations and things like that behind them. So they have a little bit more flexibility, if you will. They're not just a straight query. And, you know, you can get a little bit more sophisticated with your notifications and whatnot. So definitely look at leveraging those if you haven't already. So you mentioned FastPath, and we mentioned launching applications. Now, behind every application, behind every batch, we have versions, right? So we get this question early on quite a bit. What's the difference? XJDE, ZJDE. What the heck's the difference? Well, XJDE typically refers to a batch version. ZJDE typically refers to an interactive version. The important thing is that Oracle owns these, so please don't use them directly. Use them as a template, copy them. One of our goals here is to also share some of the gotchas. Well, I reserve the right to change those versions, which means if you're using them and I deliver an ESU or I deliver an update, I might change them on you. I apologize ahead of time, maybe, but good rule of thumb, don't use them. Just copy them and tweak them, tailor them to your needs.
Tweaking and tailoring these ones, the out-of-the-box ones, may result in a oop when you go to upgrade.
Yes, an oop. Thank you for introducing a Midwestern term into the show so early, Chandra.
Anytime, Paul. And we'll cover more about the term oop at some point.
Okay.
Well, and with those interactive versions, you have processing options. Those are parameters that are going to allow you or provide you some control over how that interactive or batch program runs. And with that batch program, you also have data selection, set selection, data sequencing that you can use to, again, control how that batch program runs. And with interactive versions, Paul, we have forms. Let's talk a little bit about form types.
Yes, there are several different form types out there that you should familiarize yourself with. They each have a slightly different look and feel, a slightly different purpose. So most of our applications start off with some sort of find browse, right? That's where you get your work with sales orders, work with purchase orders. These are find browse forms meant to obviously help you locate records. Then, you know, once you select a record within a find browse, you're usually navigated to something like a fix inspect form, which is typically a single record. If you're revising a single record, you'll find yourself in a fix inspect form to see all the attributes of, you know, whatever the entity is that you're modifying. And then if it's going to go into, you know, kind of a many-to-one relationship, you'll navigate yourself to a headerless detail form where you're likely faced with a grid, a series of values, obviously, that you can then further search and manipulate. Within each one of the form controls, you may have a search and select form that can pop up. So if you see your visual assist, which is your little rocket ship, that'll take you to a search and select, which will help you obviously search for valid values that you can select and to populate a control or a grid cell. And we have a series of other forms. I mean, there's a message form. I think there's a wizard. There's parent child. So if you've ever been over into bill of materials or you're over in ETO and you want to look at the ETO workbench, you'll probably find a parent child form. And then I guess it's been a while, but we did introduce something called power forms as well. And these forms are, you know, forms with subforms within them. So they get, you know, you can like start to stack forms you went within forms, and you've got reusable subforms that, you know, you can, you know, move to other power forms and reuse. So there's a lot of different form types.
What about form elements? What do those refer to?
Well, despite the fact that we have so many form types, the elements of a form, you know, remain fairly consistent. So regardless of what form type you find yourself in, you should find yourself in familiar territory. Every form likely has a toolbar across the top. You'll see that green check mark or that red X or the magnifying glass if you've got a find. You'll also find hyper exits. So you got your form and row exits and your tools exit as well. And then filters, right? If it's a find browse, you'll find filter fields in the header that you can fill out. I already mentioned the fact that, you know, behind each one of those filter fields and potentially behind some of your grid cells, you'll have visual assists that can help you, you know, actually locate valid values. And then, of course, grids. I've mentioned grids a couple times, but occasionally, depending on the type of form and depending on the queryability of the form, is that a word, queryability? I'm not sure that's on anybody's list, but I like it. We'll do a QBE line. So another three-letter acronym that is a J.D. Edwards classic, QBE, query by example. I wish I knew who I could attribute that name to. It is kind of cool. But if you have a query by example line above your grid that allows you to filter the records within the grid. And finally, you know, on every row, you may have attachments, right? So if you see a paperclip on a grid row, that indicates that there's an attachment or a media object or MO, as we like to call them. And you can navigate into media objects and, you know, obviously view and add and manipulate those there. That's a little bit about the form elements. Now, I'm going to bring up the Wall Street Journal.
No, we're going to go back to media objects because I'd really like to request a product enhancement here, Paul. I'd really like to see the paperclip be more animated, you know, like Clippy used to be.
Clippy. Okay, well, everybody, you know, when you have just wonderful product ideas like this, you need to file an SR. You need to call My Oracle Support and enter an SR requesting enhancements. And, you know, again, you have to let me know what your intent is and why.
What my business requirements are.
What your business requirement is and what you're attempting to accomplish by said enhancement, rather than just letting us know, you know, what the actual solution is. So if you can describe to me why we need Clippy, then, you know, we'll look into it. But if not,
entertainment.
Entertainment. Okay. So there's an entertainment value. I'm sure that's one of the criteria that we have that we use to weight our enhancement list is entertainment value. If it's not, I'm going to work with product management. I'll get it added. No problem.
See, this is why I'm fun tech, not funk tech.
Fair enough. Well, if I implement that enhancement, I'll be funk tech, but let's move on. All right. WSJ for Wall Street Journal, or in the case of J.D. Edwards,
work with submitted jobs. I know I spend a fair amount of time in there. Definitely when I'm troubleshooting the user issue of, I ran a report and it doesn't have the right output on it. It's blank. Well, what did you put in for the criteria? That's where I'll go and view the execution detail so that I can see what exactly said user might have put in the processing options or data selection when they ran it to let them know what they may have not quite done correctly. And the other thing that I'll do is to see if a report is in error. And if so, probably I won't do much because, well, the error messages that are out in the work center maybe aren't necessarily the most helpful.
I'm sure there's always room for improvement. Error handling, error messaging is one of those areas. And we love to hear when we've done a poor job of letting you know that there is an error with no detail, leaving you helpless to troubleshoot.
I'm not helpless. I just get resourceful.
Cool. If you are resourceful, where else might you go to drill in?
I might head over to the work center and pop in, open up a personal in basket, see if I can't get additional information from the personal in basket, indicating what the error might be. Again, not always super helpful either, but I kind of have learned what to expect for error messages in a personal in-basket versus what not to expect. I'll also know for electronic workbench, I'll go in there if we have some email notifications that are set up to trigger. I can see if that notification went to said employee. And then, you know, again, checking for those error messages.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to another, I think, classic. UDC stands for User Defined Codes. And what you want to do is look for the hard-coded user-defined codes and leave them alone. Why?
Don't touch
They are hard. Don't touch them. They are Oracle delivered. Yes, we do have some user-defined codes that Oracle delivers to you that are necessary for the system to operate properly. That said, user-defined codes are your opportunity to obviously input the codes that are familiar to you that you want to use to obviously manage the system and run your business. Another element or attribute, if you will, of the user-defined code is the SHC or special handling code. And if you, you know, this again has a set of values that we explicitly look for within our codes. So again, you want to use the proper special handling codes and, or you may not get the results that you want. Speaking of not getting the results that you want, try deleting the blank UDC at some point and watch chaos reign on your system. Again, we're here to give you some advice. The advice would be do not delete the blank UDC, please. Your symptoms that you will experience will not be directly attributable to a missing blank UDC. It will take time to find out exactly what's going wrong. This is just not worth experiencing. Would you agree?
100%. I have been in places where that blank UDC has disappeared and chaos has reigned. There's been a
moment or two.
Deleted the blank.
This is your OPE moment brought to you by OPE.
Interested in learning how other JDE customers are driving success in their organizations? Join one or more of the JD Edwards Special Interest Groups, or SIGs, for informal conversation and community. Bring your questions, find answers, build your JDE network, share and prioritize product ideas, and help influence product roadmap. To sign up, visit questoraclecommunity.org/groups.
Next up, let's talk about the DD, or the data dictionary. Paul, tell us a little bit about data items. What are they? What can we do with them?
Well, all your attributes within the system are, you know, considered data items. And that's what we use data dictionary for, is to centrally define and control all the attributes in the system. So a data item has an alias, a description. You can give it a type, alphanumeric, numeric, etc. You can give it a size. This is where, if you are dealing with numerics, you're going to define data decimals. You can define display decimals versus file decimals. You can put data dictionary items into a class so that they actually share certain attributes. There's a lot of different attributes to an actual data item. Glossary, defining whether or not something's uppercase, whether or not it can have a blank entry. Are there any UDCs associated with this? Is there default values, visual assist, edit rules, etc.? There's quite a bit of detail, I would say, that you can give data item in the system. The one thing I would say is when you go in to create data items of your own, do not use blanks or special characters as part of their alias. That causes havoc. Not quite as much havoc as maybe deleting the blank UDC, but it's just not going to go well. So let's go to our next one, which is another user-defined category, UDOs, or user-defined objects. Chandra, would you like to list out a few examples of user-defined objects for the audience?
I would. How about personalization, extension, orchestrator, UX1, E1 pages, Cafe Ones, E1 Search, Grid Formats, Saved Queries. Those are just a few.
Yeah, just to name a few. But again, these user-defined objects, we call them user-defined because they are yours as JD Edwards customers. These are what you use to really tailor the JD Edwards system to meet your business needs without fear that JD Edwards is going to come along and deliver something that disrupts those objects. Those are really your objects. They're better than customizations because typically a customization is to one of Oracle's objects. And of course, we reserve the right to overwrite that, and you find yourself in retrofit land all the time. So with UDOs, you can still make a lot of those, you know, tweaks to the system and personalize it, extend it, et cetera, without fear that JDE is going to override it.
Let's talk a little bit about releases. I know one of the things I struggled with early on was kind of understanding how you laid them out numerically. Release now is more consistent. We're on release 24. Okay, it's 2024. I got that. 23 was 2023. I got that. Prior to that, though, 926 dot whatever. Can you kind of shed some light on that for people?
Oh, boy. Yes, this is a question we get quite a bit. So obviously, we labeled our tools releases 9.2 dot whatever the update was, right? So at this point, we're on update 8 for 9.2. So it'll be 9.2.8. And then the next dot after that, of course, is the maintenance pack. But that makes it sound like obviously we're in maintenance mode. So we wanted to get away from that. We went to a new naming, you know, to a new nomenclature, and we rebranded. And that's why you find yourself with release 22, 23, 24, the model year approach, which is much more intuitive. We also, throughout the years, delivered updates, right? We do updates annually. These are named wonderfully UN6, UN7, UN8. Well, I think the 6, 7, 8 is probably pretty obvious to everybody. Every year we do an update, that number increments. That said, the U is for update, and N, where did N come from? Well, every release got a alphanumeric label for it for the ESUs that we deliver. Since 9.2 was our N release, we had already done A, B, C, D, E, F, G, etc. UN stands for, the N is really 9.2 is what it represents. I just mentioned ESU, so that's electronic software update. That's how we deliver all of our bug fixes, and they are cumulative and include all dependencies. So it's our electronic way of delivering a code fix to you. We also have ASUs, which are application software updates, and then ASIs. Here's another three-letter acronym. What's an ASI? Well, that's an automated special instruction. So we deliver special instructions with many of our enhancements, as well as some of our defects for things that the system administrator needs to do within the system in order for our solution to actually work or function. So, you know, we had to come up with another three-letter acronym. So ASI, there you go.
So the ESUs, the ASUs, the ASIs, those seems like things that I'm probably going to turn a lot to my CNC group for. And CNC stands for configurable network computing.
Obviously,
can you tell me a little bit?
Us to say.
Obviously, not a tongue twister at all. Can you talk about talk through some of the terms that, you know, might be more hooked into your CNC side, but yet as a BA or as a developer, you're going to hear these terms maybe tossed around at different points.
Yes. Yes. These may be terms that you're not going to hear in your day-to-day when working with your, you know, your end users or talking to other business analysts or even your developers. Things like the different server types. The most popular, most recently, is AIS, right? That is what we, you know, what you set up to actually run Orchestrator. Well, that is Application Interface Services Server, right? So that's your AIS server. You also have your application server, HTML server, that we commonly refer to as your JAS server. And then you've got your enterprise server. This is where all your business logic is going to run. All those business functions, you know, that we write are going to run on the enterprise server or ES. Some other terms from a CNC might be SM or SMC. That stands for Server Manager or Server Manager Console. Within Server Manager Console, which is what your administrators will use to monitor and manage the JD Edwards servers, you'll find other capabilities like SAW, Server Administration Workbench, or JDE Advanced Diagnostics Engine, or BMD, the Business Function Memory Diagnostic. You may hear these terms, you know, periodically dropped. Hopefully, you know, this helps you now recognize them. One that will be coming to Server Manager soon, I'm not allowed to commit to timelines or anything like that. We don't have the safe harbor on this on the pod, but you should find a Performance Workbench should make its way to Server Manager at some point in the future as well. And finally, I think, you know, maybe the most common term, you know, that everyone, the developers, the CNCs, as well as the BAs probably know is OMW for Object Management Workbench. But the one some that are new to JD Edwards may not know is what was OMW prior? What was its name prior?
Object Librarian.
Yes.
Yay, I got it right.
OL. Yes. And this is where, you know, you use, you know, Object Management Workbench to obviously manage your objects, promote them through, you know, to various environments. And by objects, we have a whole bunch of other names or terms: business functions, BSFN, named ERs, NERs, business view, BSVWs, tables, TBLDs, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on quite a bit, but, you know, we only have, you know, a limited time. So we'll cut it off at that. Are there any other CNC or system admin terms that you would include?
I would include the cross-reference, the XREF. It's a very handy tool. For me, I use it frequently, especially when I want to see what tables does this application write to. That's one of my favorites.
Yes, I find cross-reference to be a very valuable tool as well. When I was a developer, this is where, you know, you can find out everywhere a data item is used. You can find out everywhere a form is called. You can find out everywhere a business function is called. So again, depending on what sort of modifications you're making, if you want to try to do some level of impact analysis, cross-reference can help you out. Next, we're going to go through some miscellaneous terms. But again, to try to have fun with this, because we said we were going to be fun and entertaining, we're going to do it in kind of a back and forth manner. We're going to try to perhaps trip one another up and see if one another knows which acronym we're speaking about, right? Can you name that acronym, and do you have some idea about what its intended purpose is? So with that, I'm going to start by serving you up a softball. Since I owe you one, since you gave me one earlier, I will put this one right across the middle of the plate with SIG, S-I-G.
Special Interest Group. While that's not necessarily something that JD Edwards owns, it's owned by Quest, and it's a great way for you to get educated, to network, to share ideas, maybe talk about problems you're having, help identify new requirements that can feed into the product roadmap. If you are not involved, I strongly encourage you to go to QuestOracleCommunity.org and get yourself signed up for one of the special interest groups that are out there. Now, I'm going to lob one right back at you, Paul. You better be ready for this one. RUG, R-U-G.
That would be regional user groups, of which we have many throughout the world, where customers as well as partners will get together within a particular region and share educational material on a periodic basis, quarterly, semi-annually. So some of the more popular ones in the U.S. might be the Packerland User Group, the Houston User Group, the Southern California User Group, or the Southeastern User Group. Over in Europe, you have many of them by country. So there's the Benelux User Group, there's the Spanish User Group, there's the French User Group. There's several other user groups as well. If you're curious or interested in participating in a regional user group in your area, once again, you can go to QuestOracleCommunity.org to find out more information. All right, throwing one back at you. Since you are a recovering accountant, can you tell us what AAI means without getting too excited?
Without getting too excited, that might be tough. But I think it stands for Automatic Accounting Instructions. Yay! Who doesn't love those? My podcast partner might have fallen asleep.
Did you say accounting? Oh, my bad.
Well, here's one back at you. How about DMAAI?
Distribution and Manufacturing AAIs, because those of us in distribution and manufacturing simply have to be different.
You had to be special.
We do. So how about this one? JSI, Chandra.
Job status inquiry. I know I've heard the term. I'm not a heavy user of the job cost module. That being said, I'm guessing it allows you to inquire on the status of a job?
Yes, it does. It does allow you to inquire on the status of a job. And jobs have cost breakdown structures. And so job status inquiry is a great way for you to inquire on the actual progress of a project and view its cost breakdown structure.
How about UOM?
Unit of measure. Yes, very common throughout, obviously, all of our manufacturing and distribution applications, inventory, logistics, etc. And this is where we have another one of those gotchas. I always like to remind everybody that when you define units of measure for an item, please, please, please remember to make the primary unit of measure the smallest unit of measure. Or similar to when you delete the blank UDC, be prepared to watch chaos reign. All right, moving on. How about OGL? Now, this is a more recent one.
It is a little bit newer one, Oracle Guided Learning. And that allows you to have kind of some pre-programmed steps of what to do within the application. How about UPK, Paul?
I'd say UPK, you could almost call it a precursor to OGL, but UPKs were user productivity kits. And again, they were a way to help set up the system as well as help provide some level of training to users. So speaking of training tools, these probably both fall under the category of LMS.
Learning Management Systems. Those are ones I'm familiar with. They may not necessarily reside within JD Edwards, but they can be used to train your users on JD Edwards. Next up is one of my favorites, MOS.
Okay, my Oracle support, we've mentioned it multiple times, and obviously where you go to enter SRs, but also where you go to find knowledge documents and search for existing issues that perhaps other customers have experienced and find out the latest and greatest, really. I mean, they've got certifications out there if you want to know what we've certified, if you want the statement of direction for what we're going to support from a platform perspective, what we're planning to certify soon or what we're planning to sunset, that's also out there. So there's a lot of great information available to you on my Oracle support. Let me throw a random one out there. SSO.
Ooh, one of my favorites. Single sign-on. That's an authentication method that allows users to sign in to, say, multiple applications or websites with one set of credentials. So oftentimes it might be like your Windows or network password allows you to go right into JD Edwards and not have to enter your own separate user ID and password.
Nice.
Makes users' lives a little bit easier. And our lives too, because then we don't have to reset their passwords all the time.
If you do have to reset passwords all the time, we do have a self-service version of that we deliver.
I did hear that.
fairly recently, but so to end this section and to end this segment as far as the acronyms are concerned, because for those of you out there, don't worry, we've still got the Midwesternism of the day coming. But to end this segment, we wanted to end it with a mystery acronym. So I'm going to ask you, Chandra, if you know this. I suspect most out there do not. But do you know what EUR stands for?
Well, Paul, you may have stumped me on that one. How about you enlighten me?
Well, those out there in the blend community that are familiar with our wine solution will recognize this as end use reservation. So it is what we use to designate the assignment of a blend lot or a block to one or more end products, and it allows it to represent multiple products, product blends, or product families. So a little tricky because not everybody out there uses, obviously, our blend product. But if you do, EUR is probably familiar. And if you don't, well, you just learned what end use reservation is.
That was fun. Thanks, Paul. I know. Maybe at Blueprint, our next upcoming conference, we should have acronym bingo. We could hand out the cards in the keynote.
That's right. Hand out the cards at the keynote. And as you go through the conference throughout the week, you can check off your boxes. And the first one, you know, to basically turn in a bingo card blacked out, perhaps, I don't know, maybe there's a prize. Who knows?
We'll have to talk about that.
All right. It's that time again for our Midwesternism of the day. It's actually been mentioned a couple times so far in today's episode. But why don't you enlighten us on what today's word is, Chandra?
Oh, I know that probably comes as a surprise, but ope really is an exclamation of surprise. It definitely comes out of my mouth when I accidentally like bump into somebody or somebody deleted the blank UDC. Oh, better go fix that.
Yes, ope is used quite frequently.
On behalf of Paul and myself, thank you for joining us for Lingo Bingo today. We hope everybody enjoyed the show and will tune in for our next episode. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. Speak at you later.
Toodles. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards. Coming up on the JDE Connection, we go behind the scenes with Linda Sloan Compton, leader of the JD Edwards Business Analyst SIG. Linda shares insights from her 27 years working in local government on the JD Edwards platform. You won't want to miss Linda's candid take on the BA role and connecting the dots between functional and technical, and how we entice the next generation of JD Edwards experts. Tune in as we tackle these topics and more in our next episode.